Father, we are thankful that you are always faithful. Even when we are not, you remain the same, faithful, committed. And Lord, O God, we behold you, having given us access to your presence. We ask, O God, tonight, that as we behold you, that we are being changed, transformed into the same glory, becoming daily like you. Thank you, Father, that you're taking us by the hand and leading us all the way through. We give you praise and we thank you, Lord, that our dependence on you is not in vain. Blessed be your holy name, Most High. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to thank God for every one of you that's taken time to be here tonight. Some of you were at the match this afternoon, and it was a great time together and a great match for Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Today, I want to talk about a benefit that we have because of what our Lord Jesus Christ came to do. But this benefit is not going to be just about that, but about the reality that God brings into our lives when we connect with Him and when God's people pray. In Acts chapter 12, I'm not going to be spending my time on this particular passage because I want to address a particular issue, but this is going to be a lead to that. In Acts 12, verse 3, it says, "And because he saw it pleased," actually, why don't I take it from verse 1? It says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church." So there are particular people of the church that he wanted to attack. You see, the thing about the devil is that he doesn't attack everybody. He attacks strategically those that he knows will help unravel the ball. The devil is very strategic. So the Bible says, "And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread," or the time of Passover, which is this particular time that we are in. "And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the poor, to the people rather. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." I want you to notice it was a prayer for him. There is a strategic prayer happening. And the word of God continues. It says, "And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. It came how? Upon him. It would have been easy to say it came to him, but it says it came upon him. Now, This is the angel of the Lord, the messenger of the Lord, came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. Now, I preached from this passage recently, not too long ago, so I'm not going to spend my time here, but I want you to note that an angel was dispatched at the time of Passover. Now, at the first Passover, an angel was dispatched. And the point I want to make at this point is that this is a season where God dispatches angels. Angels of deliverance. Praise the Lord. So there is a dispatch of angels. Now, I have, through the years of ministry, experienced the assistance of angels. In fact, when I was back in Nigeria recently, a word of the Lord came to me through a young lady that had, I just finished ministering, and she came to me and she said, "You've had a lot of angelic assistance." He says, "But now God is increasing the amount of angels that will work with you." Now, that was no different from a word that I'd received just days before from another prophet about angels. Some say angels. Now, these angels are not just for pastors and leaders. They are for every one of us. In fact, when you were born, there was an angel assigned to you. Praise the Lord. In fact, the Word of God says when you maltreat a child, the angel of the child will report you. Say, "Look what this person was doing to this person." We have angelic assistance. Amen? And tonight, I want to explore 9 things about the angel of the Lord that God dispatches at this time. The angel of the Lord came to Peter at the time of Passover when he was imprisoned. But this angel came because the people were praying. James was killed at about the time of Passover, and there was no angel that came to deliver him. But when the people were praying for Peter, the angel was dispatched. The point is this: angelic assistance comes because somebody is praying. May I say that again? Angelic assistance comes because somebody is praying. We get what we know is ours by right. If you don't know and you're ignorant, the Word of God says, "My people perish because of a lack of knowledge." And at this time, we need to connect with that which God has made available to us. Angels. In the book of Exodus, chapter 23. Exodus 23. In Exodus 23, beginning to read from verse 20, God begins to share with his people about the angel. He says, "And behold, the angel of the Lord," he says, "behold, I send an angel before thee." I send an angel before you. So, just like John the Baptist was there to prepare way for the Lord's coming, the Lord says here in his word that he was sending an angel before the people of God. And what is this angel's assignment? It is to keep them in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Hallelujah. So the angel is assigned to keep them in the way. The Bible says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The angel of the Lord is there to help us stay on the path. That's its first assignment, to keep us in the path. And he says, and to bring thee into the place which I have what? Prepared. Jesus, our Lord, says, I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, you will be also. Is that not what the word of God says? Exactly. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you so that you can be where I am. Now, believers generally put the where I am into the future. But that's not what God intended. That's not what the Lord Jesus intended at all. Because the fact is that when we're crucified with Christ and we're buried with Christ and we rose again from the dead with him, we also ascended with him and we are seated at the right hand of the Father in Christ Jesus. Is that what the Word of God says? So then, if that is what the Word of God says, then we are where he is, in the place that he's prepared for us. We are there. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And what is the word of God saying here? He says he's going to send an angel. And this angel is going to help keep us in the way and bring us into the place which have been prepared. Hallelujah. So we have angelic assistance to make certain that we continue in the pathway of God. Now, we don't just have an angel, we have the Holy Spirit. Part of the role of angels is to make certain that we are strengthened. Elijah was running away from Jezebel, for whatever reason, and an angel came and ministered to him and strengthened him. The Bible says that our Lord Jesus Christ was tempted in the wilderness, and God dispatched angels that came and strengthened him. Hello? Angels come to strengthen us. Why? Because sometimes we are weak. Sometimes we are overwhelmed by whatever it is that's happening, and angels are there to minister to us, to make sure that we are strengthened. When we are weak, when we are tired, when we are overwhelmed, when it seems like issues are all encompassing, and the angel of the Lord comes and make sure that you stay in the path and make sure that you arrive at the destined point that God has assigned and that you be strengthened. When the angel came to Peter, struck him on the side and says, get up quickly, arise, and make haste and get out of here. God has an angel assigned. But then it says this. It says, beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. My name is in this angel. Now, this particular angel that he's talking about is akin to the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible tells us about the Holy Spirit that if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, your goose is cooked. Well, that's the same thing here. Beware of him. Obey his voice. The Bible says, do not resist the Spirit of God. Do not quench the Spirit of God. Our obedience is relevant in receiving the benefits of this angel, as it is also beneficial for us to listen to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. You see a lot of parallels here. It says, but if thou shalt indeed obey his voice, if you listen to his instruction and do all that I speak, because this angel has my name in it, this angel is going to represent me. So listen to him. Well, the same thing is true of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not going to speak of himself. He's going to speak about Jesus. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. But too many times we resist the Spirit of God. God is speaking to us. God is ministering to us. And we resist him. And God is saying, don't do that. Listen to this angel. He says, if you listen to the angel, if you pay attention to the instructions that the angel is giving you, then these are going to be the benefits. Verse 22, he says, I will be an enemy unto thine enemies. Anyone wants to be an enemy to you? God says, don't worry about them. Just listen to my instruction. And I'll be an enemy to your enemy. Praise the Lord. I like that deal because it keeps my hands clean. God says, just listen to me. If I give you an instruction, follow the instruction. The angel of the Lord is going to come and he will speak to you. The Holy Spirit is going to come and speak to you. Just do the instruction. And if you do, I will be an enemy to thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. I am going to take your place and I'm going to fight for you. The angel of the Lord is, its assignment is to speak to you. Your assignment, listen to what the angel is saying. And I, God, will now become an enemy to your enemy and an adversary to your adversary. That is the second thing. Then it says, in verse 25. Actually, let me not skip over 23. It says, for mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. What is God talking about here? These are the people that were possessing or in charge of the promised land that God was bringing them into. And God was going to dethrone them or remove them from that land. And he's going to hand it over to the people of God. Based on what? Based on the fact that they were listening to the instruction. You are not going to get into the promised land that God has for you, your destiny, if you're not willing to obey God and the instruction that he has. It is a spiritual law. The word of God says obedience is better than what? Sacrifice. It says disobedience is like the sin of witchcraft. Rather than God being against that which is against you, you become your own worst enemy because you are rebelling against the purposes of God. I was having a meeting online this afternoon or early morning, overseeing our churches in Africa. And the pastors were talking about how stubborn some of the members were. So we tell them this and they do something totally different. And I was counseling them about that. I said to them, you know what? It is not just an African problem. It is a human problem. It's everywhere. People are stubborn. You know, the Bible says they are stiff-necked. Hardened hearts. But that's not what God wants for us. He wants to bring us into the land. And part of the reason why these people were still in this land was because the word of God says the fullness of their sin had not come, their sin had not come to the full. That's why the people of God were in Egypt for 400 years. He says, but when their sin gets to the full, I'm going to bring you into that land. I'm going to cut them off and I'm going to give you what is rightfully yours. I'm going to overturn and overturn and overturn their agenda. And so he goes on and he says in 24, thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. All right, why would God be telling them all of that? They already know God. They already know God. So what is this all about? Well, because these gods fed the flesh. So, Pastor, what do you mean by that? There was a lot of fun worshiping these gods. Well, what kind of fun? The fun of sin. They go and they are partying. They are drinking. They are fornicating. They are swapping. They are all kinds of... They have temple prostitutes. Free for all. If you are in the flesh, of course you want that. And today... these gods are still worshipped. You say, how are they still worshipped? They are worshipped in the temples of pornography. Do you know how many people in the so-called church are hooked up in pornography, worshiping other gods? Do you know how many are hooked on all kinds of immoral lifestyles? And they are in church playing instruments and singing amazing songs, writing amazing songs, but they are sleeping together, they're practicing homosexuality and everything else. That's serving other gods. That's serving other gods. I remember many years ago, the Lord spoke to me. And he started pointing out to different churches. I don't like talking about stuff like this, but it's needful. Pointing to different churches. He said, you see that one? You see that one? You see that one? I said, yeah. He said, that one is not built by my spirit. I said, but the man is a good preacher. No, he said, they are built by the spirit of homosexuality. I said, what? Not him. He said, I'm going to start unveiling them one by one. One by one. And sure enough, I was shocked. Some of the people you told me about, they started coming out. They said, you know, things are coming out about them. And now and then, God will tell me again, I'm about to expose another one. I say, why are you exposing these people like that? You know, they have great churches. Can't you just hide their mess and still, this is bringing shame to your name. I say, I'm not about numbers. When Israel sinned, he tossed them out. Is that not true? They were out. God preserves his name. Hallelujah. And he doesn't care. He really doesn't care. I'm still God. It doesn't matter how many times you try to throw stuff at me, I'm still God. Still faithful. Still sovereign. Still all-powerful. Nobody compares with me. And I'm not going to let you blackmail my name. Praise the Lord. God says to them, don't bow down to their gods. Why would I, who's experienced the power of God, be told not to bow down to other gods? That's not possible. Oh yes, it's very possible. If you want to feed the flesh, therefore it is imperative that we die to the flesh. When you see your flesh start acting up, the Bible says, mortify the deeds of the flesh. Shut it down. Because it has to do with eternity. He says, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread. Hallelujah. He shall bless thy bread. Verse 25. That's the fourth thing he promised here. He says he's going to bless your bread and he's going to bless your water. And then he's going to take sickness away from the midst of thee. As you and I obey God, he says, this angel, just follow the instruction. Follow the instruction. And I tell you what, I'm going to bless your bread and your water. Whatever it is that you eat is going to be blessed. You don't have to be worrying, should I eat this? Is this good for me? Is that? No, no, it says, hey. Like Paul says, stop questioning what you're going to eat. Just bless it and eat. Because every other day, somebody's going to come up with some idea of what is good for you and what is not good for you. One day, fat is good for you. Eat all the meat you can eat. Eat all the fat you can eat. And the next day, lean stuff, lean stuff. Is it fatty stuff, lean stuff? What am I supposed to eat? Okay, I'm going to just have vegetables. And then somebody else comes and says, you cannot just have vegetables. You got to have some fish and some eggs. And then you start eating the egg. Oh, cholesterol, cholesterol. Yikes, what am I supposed to eat? God says, bless the food, eat. Hallelujah. Stop worrying about it. Stop worrying about it. You know, it's like my Jewish brothers, this is, the other white meat. The other white meat, that's pork. All of a sudden, you stop being kosher. Stop worrying about it. Is this meat, was it sacrificed to gods? Or forget about it. If you have to ask questions, then you've got problems. Just go eat some stuff. Give God thanks and eat your food. It is okay. Hallelujah. God says, I'm going to bless your bread and I'm going to bless your water. And if there's sickness attached to it, I will take the sickness away. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. Because it doesn't matter what you eat, you can get sick from it. But the promise of the Lord is that if you eat any deadly thing, it's not going to mess with you. Now, if you don't have faith for that in believing, then do what you need to do. You know, they give this food pyramid chart. And it's written by some people that want to promote their product. So all of a sudden, you know, all those sugar-filled cereal, that's good for you. And they start promoting it. Until somebody else comes and says, no. So what are you going to do? Live by them? Or will you accept the fact that God says, I will take sickness away from the midst of thee? We've got to believe the benefit that God gives to us as his angel comes to help us. Now, we do have, by grace, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will tell you what to eat and what not to eat. Trust him. But best of all, it is this, that sickness, and I will take sickness away. So when God says, I will take sickness away, he's acknowledging the fact that there is something called sickness. And he's saying, I'm going to take sickness away from the midst of thee. That not just you, but you all. That sickness is not mentioned in your midst. Hallelujah. Oh, Sister So-and-so has this. No, there's no Sister so-and-so that has that, because Sister so-and-so that had that, Jesus says in his word, that sickness is taken away. And I decree by the authority of the word of God that on the basis and the foundation of this word that we're reading and meditating on this very moment, that every form of sickness, small or great, of any form, of any shape, whether it be sickness in the muscles, sickness in the mind, in the nervous system, in your skeletal system, in your circulatory system, every system that makes you who you are, that that sickness be removed from us. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes, and amen. We don't need it. Hallelujah. Let me say that again. We don't need it. I don't need sickness. The Bible already tells me that by the stripes that he bore, we were healed. So healing has already taken place. And affliction is not meant to return twice. So I need to attach myself with that reality and follow the leadings and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So God promises us prosperity. And he promises us the removal of every sickness. And verse 26 is telling. It tells us something else. In verse 26, as we listen to this angel and follow the dictates and the directives of the Lord, he says, there shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in thy land. In essence, God is saying there will not be miscarriages. Wow, that is powerful. He says, I'm going to banish miscarriage from your lives. I'm going to banish barrenness. That's the capacity to not have the capacity to bear a child. You know, your womb is shut. It is impossible. He said, I'm going to take that out in thy land. None of that. He says, and the number of thy days I will fulfill. Your assigned days, I will fulfill. You know that people die before their time? Yeah, people die before their time. Say, oh, and God says, hey, listen, you are not going to die before your time. Every single day you're supposed to live, you will live it. Hallelujah. You live for as long as I have assigned to you. Your life shall not be cut short. Now, how will that happen? Do you remember we talked about yesterday from the book of Ephesians and from the commandments? Honor your father and your mother. If you lose the powerful key of honor, then you're going to die. So practice honor. Honor your father and your mother. Honor those that God has placed in your life, whether they be spiritual parents or natural parents, those that God has placed over you. He says, honor them. He says, as you do that, I will make sure that your days are fulfilled. Amen? The number of thy days, God says, I will fulfill. So when the enemy wants to kill you, he loses out. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I know that the enemy many times have tried to take me out. Yeah. In fact, a prophet of the Lord came to me and said to me, he said, God has assigned to you long life. In fact, the devil wanted to kill you in 2020. And he was so right, he didn't know about it. But the enemy, I saw the angel of death. I told, I see you and I'm not afraid of you. You can mess with me. And sticking his face out, and he came, was coming close to me, and I rebuked him, and the ground opened and he fell, and I started laughing. He was going, falling and falling and falling and falling. And the Lord says to me, start dancing. I was so weak, I swung my feet off on the side of the bed and I started doing the African dance. Hallelujah. No, God says, I will fulfill the days, your days. I'll fulfill them. I'm going to live as long as God has assigned me to live. Amen? And so will you. You're not going nowhere. That's why we don't bury people here. Praise the Lord. God is good. Yeah, I know. Death comes now and then, but not until you fulfill your days. Because God already said, I'm going to take sickness and disease from you. I'm going to give you long life. Then he says, 16, in verse 26, he says, I will send my fear before thee. Wow. This is a special one. He says, I'm going to send my fear before thee. The fear of God is also the reverence of God. In essence, God is saying, I'm going to send before you a spirit of reverence and a fear that at the mention of your name, people start shaking if they had a different agenda. He says, I'm sending you my angel. Listen to him. If you listen, these are the benefits. These are the benefits. The benefits of obedience to the angel of the Lord and to the Holy Spirit. I will send my fear before thee and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. I'm going to destroy them. How? By putting into them fear. I'm going to cause them to be afraid of you. And they're going to be whimpering, falling apart, just because you come in. And that's exactly what happened. People were afraid. As long as they listened. He says, and I will make all thine enemies to turn their backs unto thee. In other words, I'm going to cause your enemies to flee. They're going to turn their backs. They're not going to stand face to face with you. I'm going to take care of every single one of them. I'm going to take care of them at your workplace. I'm going to take care of them in your neighborhood. I'm going to cause them to flee before you. All I want you to do is just listen to my instruction. What are these instructions, Lord? I will tell you. I'll tell you those that are in my word and those that are applicable to you at this particular moment. So somebody's doing something crazy around you and God says, all I want you to do is love them. Oh, how am I going to love this person that's trying to? All I want you to do is just love them. enable decided to make me their enemy. Not because of anything I did that was hurtful to them. I did something really nice that improved my property and improved their property. And from that day, they decided, I don't like you. They will not smile. I'll wave at them. They won't wave back. I'll greet them. They'll keep silent. And it's gone on for years. The rest of the family just loved us. But this guy. Huh. So one day, something happened. And somebody had dropped, I think it was a mail or something, at my place. And I took it. And I went to his door, tapped at his door. He opened. I said, this is for you. It came to my place. And he says, thank you. You normally not say thank you. We'd say, thank you. I said, well, that's an improvement. A few days later, I'm driving, and he's driving, and he waves at me. I say, hey! Something has happened. Ah! Waving at me, I said, oh, my Lord God Almighty. The dam is broken. We can now be friends. I don't need his friendship, but I need to love him. I need to love his family. With all of that going on, I have a calendar. I will, from the church calendar, I'll take it to them and say, this is for you. I'll give them, gift them. I'll give something. If I know the birthday, I'll give something. By the instruction of the Lord. If you follow the directives of the Lord, there are benefits. Benefits from the Most High God that will be released into your life and into my life. Amen? He says, I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. And then, guess what? He says, and I will send hornets before thee. Oh, we shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee. So, watch this. Your enemies are running away from you. And God says, I'm going to send all these hornets, and the hornets will be attacking them. So they're running. And you're just walking on. You didn't have to do anything. You didn't have to lift up a sword. You didn't have to shoot one arrow. You didn't have to do nothing. God says, I will send hornets. I will fight for you. But the key again is listen to the angel. And you get these benefits. He says, I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year. This is interesting here. Because God, in this particular verse, is talking about his strategy. He says, I'm not going to drive them out all at once. Lest the land be desolate. If I drive them all away, then there's nobody going to be tilling the ground. So he says, I'm going to drive them as much as I can, but I make sure that you have the capacity to occupy the space that is vacated. It makes sense? Yeah. So, what is the point? God may keep certain enemies around for a while so that they keep on doing what they need to do, make sure that the crops are taken care of, make sure that everything is being done as it should be, until you are strong enough, numerically capable enough to occupy that space. Then the hornets go to work again. Strategy. God does not just swoop out everything one shot. So I'm going to do it step by step by step. But every step is going to be a miracle. Hallelujah. He says, by little and little, I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased. Until you've experienced that increase to inherit the land. So in essence, God says, you're going to only inherit as much as you are capable of handling. So if we want more, we must increase more. And the word of God says, I will increase your greatness. So part of our prayer tonight is going to be about that. God, increase my greatness. Help me to grow up so I can handle more. Help me to be obedient to your instructions. There's nothing as bad as being promoted beyond your capacity. You know, so many people want to have this position, have that position, they want this and they want that, and you finally give it to them, and they don't know what to do with it. It's like the dog that's running after the car, finally catches up with the car and doesn't know what to do with the car. That is frustrating. God wants us blessed and to be a blessing. Amen? God wants to increase us so that we can inherit. How does this happen? The word of God tells us in Isaiah 54. It tells us about no weapons being fashioned against us that will prosper. And then it says, every tongue that rises up against you, you have the right to condemn. It says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. This is your inheritance. This is part of your benefit. A tongue rises up against you. It says, you got the power to condemn it. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, saying you don't deserve this or blah, 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 blah. It says, thou shalt condemn. God is not going to do it. He says, you do it. That's my instruction to you. You condemn that voice and tell that voice to shut up because it has no right to speak where you are. It says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. You know that God has given you the gift of righteousness. Then embrace it. This is part of your inheritance. God will fight for you strategically. And finally, the ninth thing is found in verse 31 of Exodus 23. Exodus 23 and verse 31. Here God talks about a particular blessing. He says, and I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the Sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Watch this. I will. Verse 31 again. I will. Do this. Set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the Sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river. And I will deliver the inhabitants of the land unto your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. What is God saying here? He says, I'm going to mark out your portion. This is how big it's going to be. And not only am I going to mark out what your portion is, he says, you are going to be empowered to drive them out before thee. Drive them out. And now he finalizes in verse 32. He says, thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. Don't make a covenant with them. Don't make any covenant with their gods. Why? Because if you make a covenant with them, you join me into that covenant with them. And what do? When Joshua gets into the promised land, he makes a covenant with the Gibeonites. But did God not say, don't? He said it. Why did they make a covenant? They make a covenant because of the flesh. Oh, these people, they are going to be subject to us. We're going to rule over them. God didn't say, make a covenant with them. He said, get rid of them. Drive them out. Now, because they made a covenant with the Gibeonites, that covenant impacted them hundreds of years later when Saul killed the Gibeonites. And because of it, a famine for 3 years or so hit the people of God. Saul is gone, and David cries out to God and says, what is going on? And God says, it's because of Saul. What did Saul do? He messed with the Gibeonites. Why? They made a covenant. When the Gibeonites were in trouble with the rest of the Confederates, and they came to attack them, the Gibeonites called on Joshua and the rest of the crew. And would you know it? Joshua comes with a team to fight against the enemies of the Gibeonites that they made a covenant with, that they should not have made a covenant with, because they were not Israelites. They were not Jews. They were not Hebrews. But because a covenant was made, now God showed up to fight. And what did God do? After they killed whoever it is they could kill, God opened up the heavens and hailstone. It's like wiping off people. Don't make a covenant with them. Don't make a covenant with their gods. It's the instruction. Now let me wrap up by this. When God tells you not to do something, he's telling you because he can see that you're going to do it. When God says, don't do this, he already saw that you're going to do it. But you still have the choice not to do it. So you cry out to God and say, God, obviously you see that I have the tendency to do that which you just told me not to do. So I need your help. Let the angel come assist me to stay in the way, to get to my destiny. I need help. It is the meek that inherit the earth. The meek are the people that know their strength and their weaknesses, and they know they need to humble themselves in the sight of God so that God can bring them to that promised place. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Well, at this time, we're going to spend some time praying over certain things. And and then we're going to honor God with our Passover offering, expressing thanksgiving to the Lord for what he has done for us. First thing we want to thank God for is, God, thank you for the angelic assistance that you've given to us and for the Holy Spirit. Amen? Rise with me. Lift up your voice before the Lord and just thank him. Thank you, Lord, for your angel. The angel assigned it to my life. The angel assigned to this ministry, to this calling. Father, we give you praise for the power of the presence of your Holy Spirit. Let the angel assigned to my family now be activated to bring about the fulfillment of your divine purpose. We give you praise, Most High God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The Word of God says that we need to listen and follow the instruction. So I want us to pray, God, grant me the grace, the ability to walk in obedience before you. Pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the capacity, the ability to walk in obedience before you, to follow your instructions, to do what you're calling me to do. I ask, oh God, that it be so for us as a congregation, as a church, as a ministry, as a body. Lord, oh God, that we are obedient to your directives, following through with what you've called us to do, no matter how challenging it is. For we know, God, that through your strength, your power, your wisdom, your grace, your sufficiency, we can live life honorably to glorify you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Now let's just pray and thank God that he is an enemy to our enemies and an adversary to our adversaries. That God be the God who fights for us, the God who sends forth hornets before us to battle down and bring the forces of darkness down to naught. Pray. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, in the name of Jesus, for the capacity granted us by your Spirit, your favor. Thank you, Lord, that you are an enemy to our enemies, an adversary to our adversaries. We thank you, Lord, oh God, that you are dispatching angels and even hornets, even now, to strike down every enemy. Your word says, oh God, that you cause our fear to go before us. Lord, oh God, let the fear go before us even now. So, Lord, oh God, that daily, wherever we go, in the name of Jesus, everything is subdued unto us for your glory and your honor. We give you praise that it is so. In the mighty name of Jesus, our deliverance is established because your word is alive in us. We give you praise that it is so in Jesus' mighty name. Let's thank God that our water and our bread is blessed, and that he's taken sickness and diseases from us and granted to us long life. Praise God. We give you praise, O God, for the blessing of long life, longevity. We give you praise, O God, that sickness and diseases are removed far away from us. And we thank you, Lord, that our bread and our water is blessed. Whatever it is that we eat is blessed. Whatever it is that is wrong with whatever it is that we eat, Lord, O God, is removed. And we only receive the benefits. Lord, O God, the nourishment that we need. Father, everything, O God, received in balance. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you that everything about our eating and our drinking is in balance. And Lord, O God, that your name is exalted in us. We take a hold of your word and we follow through, O God, with that which you have ordained. We say yes and amen to your divine purpose in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Now let us also thank God that he's a God who has greatly increased us. Therefore, we are able to capture and take a hold of more turf day in, day out, because God has greatly increased us and has given us his ability. Let's thank God for that right now. Father, we thank you that you are the God who has very deliberately strategized about that which we inherit. And so we give you praise right now, Father, that Lord, O God, that every area is covered by the integrity of your word. Lord, O God, you have enlarged us. You have greatly increased us. You have declared unto us to rise and shine. Why? Because your glory is risen upon us. And Lord, O God, we thank you this day in the mighty name of Jesus that you're swooping in and taking care of every single detail. All things are falling in proper order for us. The lines are falling favorably unto us. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, O God, for your angelic assistance. And we thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit who helps us through all of these situations. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. And finally, let us pray for the service that we are going to be having this Sunday. It is Easter Sunday, or better yet, Resurrection Sunday. May this Resurrection Sunday see us rising powerfully to higher heights for the glory of God. May this time see us praying one for the other so that the angelic move of God will be dispatched to equip and enable us. Let us just begin to thank God for the move of His Spirit in our midst. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the move of your Spirit in our midst. We thank you, Lord, O God, that our steps are ordered of you. We thank you, Lord, that the service this Sunday is going to be extraordinary, because, Lord, O God, you're going to reveal yourself to us. And as we behold you, we are being changed into that same image, into that same glory. Lord, O God, your word says, O God, that your name will be on the angel that you've assigned to us. But your word also says that you are going to put your name on us. We declare, O God, that this Sunday, that there will be a marking on every one of us. Or a marking that declares that we belong to you. So, Lord, O God, that the blessings of the Father may rest upon us. We thank you, Lord, that every tongue that has risen up in judgment is now condemned. This is our heritage, and we come into this heritage now. Thank you, Father, for the gift of righteousness has established us. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God for every one of you that took time to come out tonight for this special time together.